The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck. The Blaze Radio Network.
We've got a lot to say about the budget. Last night had to be one of the weirdest and ridiculous nights of government that I have maybe ever seen. If you watch C-SPAN... Let me rephrase this, because this is a phrase that has never been uttered before. Hey, did you watch C-SPAN last night? No! But if you would have watched C-SPAN, you might have actually been entertained, if it didn't mean slavery to our children. Last night's theatrics, if it had a musical score, it would have been somewhere between circus music and the Benny Hill theme. I expected that three-wheel car to come in and just tip over. The Senate agreed 2 days ago on a long-term bipartisan budget deal that is the equivalent of a massive raging dumpster fire. Now, here's the thing. This isn't actually a budget. This is a continuing resolution. This is vote for everything the government does, no exceptions, no changes, except a change in increasing the spending, or shut down the government. This set the tone for last night when Rand Paul stood up in front of Senate Republicans and called out their hypocrisy. Paul didn't pull any punches. He straight up called them all hypocrites and warned that a, quote, day of reckoning is coming. Thank you, Rand Paul, for being a voice of reason. Thank you for actually warning the country on what's coming. If they don't pay attention, their own blood and the blood of their children are on their hands. You did your job. Same with Mike Lee. Rand Paul is right. And every Republican in that room that did agree with him back in 2011, they all fought the Democrats to install budget caps. This is out of control spending. This new budget obliterates all those debt caps and sets the precedent for this to get even worse in the years to come. Wow. The Republicans, they suddenly have become enlightened. They've had a change of heart. They don't want children to starve to death anymore. They're not trying to kill all of the people that just can't get hospital care. Oh, my God. Or did they actually not ever really believe in fiscal responsibility to begin with? Or were they just playing partisan politics? Nah, spoiler alert, it's the last part. The truth is, they just wanted to win in 2011, and so they knew if we impose debt caps, well, we'll convince the American people that if you vote for us, things are going to be different. Well, they are different, to the tune of $2 trillion of more debt in the next 2 years. That's great. So bravo to Rand Paul, Mike Lee, and anyone else that stood up and actually said out loud what some on the Senate floor might have been thinking and feeling if they were still thinking and feeling people. Paul kept his criticism going long enough to delay the vote, which actually caused the government to shut down just for a little bit, just a couple of minutes. In the end, it was valiant but a losing effort. The Senate voted 71-28 to pass the deal. Democrats voted against the deal, but not because of the budget. It didn't do enough for those who are here illegally. It shot over to the House for a quick vote to try to avoid the shutdown extending into Friday. Over at the House, Nancy Pelosi urged her colleagues not to show their hand until they knew how many Republicans would vote yes. And as the pressure finally mounted, she declared that she wouldn't vote because of DACA, of course. But she wouldn't hold anybody else back from voting for it. One by one, Democrats voted yes. They started to flood in. I don't know if Nancy Pelosi is just full-fledged. Not in her right mind. Or if she's auditioning for an acting gig. Because neither her theatrics last night nor her 8-plus-hour-long DACA speech had any value beyond pure theater. Last night, if you watched C-SPAN, which nobody did, it was kind of entertaining. If you're suicidal, if you were bored, nerdy, and really rooting for the destruction of America, you loved it. What else beyond a good movie or bad, ineffective government can deliver laughs and tears all in one episode?
It's Friday, February 9th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
If you are disgusted, as I am, by what is happening in Congress, I want to play something from Mike Lee. And he explains, because the American people are like, why can't they just all get into a room and work it out? He explains this. He says the reason why, we're in the room. We're in the room right now. We're all together. But they're not asking us to work it out. Because this is a continuing resolution. And this is not the way you govern anything. Because it leaves the American people out. The American people, what happens is Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer get together behind closed doors and they make every spending decision. Then they bring it to the floor and they say to the Senate and to the House, vote for this, all of it, no changes, or shut the government down. Well, gang, what is that? That's not our republic. That's not the way it works. We've been concerned. We were concerned under Obama that there might be a dictatorship. The left is now concerned that under Donald Trump, there might be a dictatorship. There might be a dictatorship. There already is a dictatorship. And it's happening in the House and the Senate. The dictators are Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell. They are dictating. You vote for this or I'll throw you to the wolves. You vote for all of the things that Chucky and I have just worked out, including things that go wildly against everything that your voters may have voted for, the things that your supporters went into the voting booth and said, they're going to do this. You don't even have a voice. You shut it down or you take it all. Here's how Mike Lee tried to explain this to America, but America wasn't listening. Listen to his explanation about the grocery store.
I've thought about this on many occasions, and there are very few circumstances in our day-to-day lives that are like the way Congress spends money. It's occurred to me that if you moved into a new area, a very remote area, and you had access to only one grocery store for many, many miles, for many, many hours, and you were on your way home from work, your spouse called you and said, stop at the store, pick up bread, milk, and eggs. And so you go to the store and you get your grocery cart, and you go to the bread aisle and you put a loaf of bread in your cart and a carton of milk and a dozen eggs. And you get to the checkout counter and you put out your bread and your milk and your eggs. And the cashier rings those things up and says, I'm sorry, you may not purchase bread, milk, and eggs unless you also purchase a half ton of iron ore and a bucket of nails and a book about cowboy poetry and a Barry Manilow album. In fact, this is a special kind of store where you have to buy all of those things. And in fact, you have to buy one of every item in this entire store in order to buy any of these things, including the bread, the milk, and the eggs. Well, that would start to approximate what it feels like to spend money in Congress, where we're told you can't fund any part of government unless you're willing to fund all of government, subject to such changes as the few people who write the continuing resolution might insert. And you, by the way, having been duly elected by the citizens of your state, will be left out of the process other than the exercise, the binary choice of yes or no. And so, Mr. President, we've seen that this is how we get to be $20 trillion in debt, soon to be $22 trillion in debt. We don't get to be $20 trillion, soon to be $22 trillion in debt, without a whole lot of agreement on part of a whole lot of people to do that. It's a bipartisan exercise, to be sure. Bipartisanship is necessary, but the fact that it's bipartisan doesn't always make it holy. You don't get to be $20 trillion in debt without a whole lot of Republicans agreeing with a whole lot of Democrats that we're going to do precisely that. It might inure to the benefit of a few people who stand to benefit every time the government gets bigger or more expensive, every time we do things this way, but it hurts everyone else. The process matters. The fact is, we will not always come to an agreement as to how much we ought to spend. We will not always come to an agreement as to those things on which we will be spending the requisite amount of money. But I think we should be able to agree that the American people deserve a process, one that allows them to be heard through the people's own elected representatives.
This is Mike Lee last night explaining we can get angry about the spending. If you're on the left, you can be angry about DACA. But that's not the problem here. The problem is there's no debate. The problem is the continuing resolution. The problem is we haven't had a government pass a budget since Bush was in office. That's the problem. The continuing resolutions mean that you are cut out of the process because your elected senator, your elected representative has no voice, no way to stand up and say, wait a minute, this part of the spending shouldn't be happening. This we can cut back and still fund the rest of the government. This is a dictatorship. And the dictators are not in the Oval. The dictators are in the Senate. The dictators are in the House. And they're called Republican and Democratic leadership. They call all of the shots. They are dictating every single dollar. And they're telling all of the other representatives, get in line or I throw you to the wolves. If you want to talk about spending, let's play the gas station audio from Rand Paul.
The Department of Defense, last year, we found this out, spent $45 million on a natural gas station in Afghanistan. $45 million. It was projected to cost $500,000. 86 some odd overruns, you know, of cost overruns, $45 million. So you're scratching your head and you're saying, natural gas station, what is that? We don't have one in my town. We don't have any in my town either. They didn't have any in Afghanistan. But you know what? They decided that they needed to reduce the carbon footprint of Afghanistan.
Oh, dear God.
All right. They wanted to reduce the carbon footprint of Afghanistan. I thought the military's job was to kill the enemy. So the military's job now is to reduce their carbon footprint. So they bought a $45 million gas station that serves up natural gas. And guess what they discovered? They kept waiting. So there's a guy sitting next to the pump. You can imagine him sitting on a stool and he's waiting for customers. No one ever came. And then someone said, oh my goodness, they don't have any cars that run on natural gas. Well, that would probably be the same if you came to my town in Kentucky. Almost nobody's got a car in America. They live in a primitive state in Afghanistan, and you're expecting them to have natural gas cars? So they said, well, gosh, we already built this $45 million gas station.
Dear God, no.
Maybe we should buy them some cars.
Oh, my
gosh.
So
they bought them some cars with your money. They paid for the gas station with your money. Now they bought them some cars with your money. But then the people still wouldn't come in. They said, we don't have any money. And they said, okay, well, we've got the gas station. We've got your cars. You need a credit card. So we gave them credit cards. So they have a U.S. credit card that you pay for to take their natural gas car that you paid for to go to a natural gas station because we're reducing the carbon footprint in Afghanistan.
I mean, that story.
Oh,
unbelievable.
Congratulations, Republicans. We have the House, we have the Senate, and we have the White House. When we have all three, things are going to change.
Glenn Beck. The Blaze Radio Network.